and not what the world tells us to believe. And so Paul says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do I do that? How can I be transformed by the renewing of your mind? Well, the Holy Spirit does that work in you as you spend time in the Word of God. And as you spend time on your knees. And as you spend time worshiping the Lord. Fellowshipping with other believers. Sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're going to see here in a minute that every one of us who know Jesus Christ have been called to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with other people. As you teach the word, as you disciple other people, as you serve, and as you obey the word. People ask me all the time, how can I know God's will? Here it is, right here. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And so we are called out of this world. We are no longer to be conformed to the pattern of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And then the Bible teaches that we are called out of sin. Romans 6:17 in your notes. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves to sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. In other words, you've become obedient to the point that you're not obedient just because someone says you need to be obedient. You're obedient because you believe it's right. You're obedient because you fully believe in the Word of God. You have moved, and this is gigantic. This is life-changing right here. You have moved from following your feelings to following the Word of God. You have moved from following your feelings to following the truth of God's Word. God's Word now plays a role in your life that when I have circumstances in my life and I don't know how to act or react, I go to the Word of God and I know that He's got the truth right there for me. One person told me just this last week, if I stay in the Word, I don't need to go rifling through the Bible trying to find answers. God's got something right there for me every day, regardless of where I'm reading. And so God's Word begins to play a role in your life to where you're no more led along by your feelings. Life is like this when you're led by your feelings, but now you're led by the truth. You're led by the Word of God, which allows you to live above your feelings. It allows you to live on a plane above your circumstances. And then the Bible says we are called into Christ. Romans 6, 3-4 in your notes. Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? In other words, we've died to ourselves so that we may live a new life in Christ Jesus. That's what being a Christian is all about. And we were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of our Father, we too may live a new life. And we are called into His body, which is His church. And the Bible says in Ephesians 2:19, now you are no longer strangers to God, and you are no longer foreigners to heaven, but you are members of God's very own family, citizens of God's country, citizens of heaven, and you belong in God's household with every other Christian. And then the Bible says in Hebrews 10, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, and let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another and all the more as you see the day approaching. And so every believer is called out of this world and added to a spiritual body, the church of Jesus Christ, where Jesus Christ is the head of that body. And then secondly, Every believer is called to a life of faith and obedience and then charged with the purpose of bringing others to that same faith and obedience. Every believer is called to a life of faith and obedience and then charged with the purpose of bringing others to that same faith and that same obedience. In other words, we are all charged with the responsibility of making disciples. A disciple is a follower of Jesus Christ. Listen to what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 28. We call this the Great Commission, the marching orders for the church, if you will. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore, and make disciples of all nations." Make followers of Jesus Christ of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then teach them to observe all that I've commanded to you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And this disciple-making process is the mission of the entire church. The mission statement, the purpose statement for GBF is to know God and make Him known. And we get it from the Great Commission and we get it from the Great Commandment, Matthew chapter 22. And so this discipleship-making process is the mission for the entire church. It is not the sole responsibility of the pastor. It is not the sole responsibility of the hired gun. Nor is it the sole responsibility of the staff. You see that nowhere in Scripture. Every believer has been commissioned to lead people to faith in Christ and then disciple them or help them grow up spiritually. And that's one of the reasons we encourage everyone here to take GBF 101. Because when you go through GBF 101, you see what we believe and why we believe it. I use over 250 passages of Scripture to show what we believe and why we believe it and what we do and why we do it. And we encourage everybody here to go through GBF 101 because when you've gone through that class, you can then take your folder that I give you. You've got notes just like this, 48 pages of them. And you can then take that folder, that GBF 101 folder, you can lead someone else to Jesus Christ with that folder, and then you can disciple them with that same folder. You can begin to teach them some deeper spiritual truths that God wants us to see from His Word, and you can help them grow up spiritually. In fact, the Bible says in Proverbs 11:30, well, let me ask you this. Do you consider yourself a wise person? Do you consider yourself a wise person? Probably most of you would say, yeah. I consider myself a wise person. Well, the Bible says in Proverbs 11:30, he who is wise wins souls. He who is wise is about the business of leading other people to Jesus Christ. Can you imagine the spiritual growth that would take place if we all asked one person to let us take them through GBF 101? It doesn't even have to be that. Right now I'm taking a guy through Experiencing God. Right now one of you are taking a guy through Launching Multipliers. I mean, there's a lot of different things we can use to disciple, but can you imagine the spiritual growth that would take place if every one of us asked one person, let me take you through this class, and then all I ask is after I spend 18 weeks with you taking you through this class, you be committed for the rest of your life to disciple somebody else one-on-one. That's called exponential growth. The growth in this area, Bosque, Hamilton, and Erath would explode. It would expand at an alarming rate. And people often ask me, Chris, where can I serve at GBF? Here's the biggest place you can serve. If you really want to serve in a way that will truly honor your Lord and further His kingdom, then get discipled and become a disciple. get discipled and start discipling other people. You may say, well, you know what, Chris, I'm not a teacher. You don't have to be. Anybody can disciple somebody else one-on-one. You don't have to know it all. Tell them up front. I don't know it all. I get up here every Sunday. Y'all know more than I do. A lot of you are a lot more spiritually mature and wise than I am. But I'm not going to let that keep me from spreading the word of Jesus Christ. Because I have the answer. I may not have it all figured out, but I've got the answer that everybody needs. I've got the answer that everybody's dying for, and if you're a Christian, you do too. You can disciple one other person. If all of us decided to get discipled and start discipling one other person one-on-one, the growth would be unreal. We wouldn't know what to do with ourselves. So grow up and help somebody else grow up spiritually. It's what the Bible calls us to do if you're a follower of Jesus Christ. And you've been given, listen, you've been given the opportunity to change somebody else's life. It's what I've taught my kids growing up. By the way you live your life at school, and by the way you live your life around this town, and showing other people the Word of God, you have been given the opportunity to change another kid's story forever. A kid that is headed down a wrong path. And you have the answer. You know the truth. And you have been given the opportunity to change a kid's story forever. For all eternity. Not just here on this earth. But their eternal destiny. And the Bible says in 2 Peter 3:18, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And to Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. And the Bible says in Hebrews 6:1, therefore leave the elementary teachings about Christ and let us press on to maturity and faith towards God. And every member of Christ's body is charged with this same mission. This same mission of leading people to Christ and discipling them. In fact, as each member does his or her part, the Bible teaches that the church will begin to grow the way God wants it to grow. The Bible says in Colossians 2:19, under Christ's control, the whole body is nourished and it grows as God wants it to grow. And the Bible says in Luke 14:23, go out into the roads and the country lanes and persuade them to come in so that my house may be full. 70% of Americans say they'd go to church if somebody asked them. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:16, from Him the whole body, I believe this is in your notes, from Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament. Now think about what that says. Sometimes people will come to me and say, you know what? I just don't think God really needs me in the church. I just don't think I'm important to the church. Yet the Bible says from Him, the whole body is joined and held together by every supporting ligament. And that church builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Now look at that verse for a minute. Does it say that the body of Christ will be built up as the pastor does his job? No. But that's what a lot of people believe. And that's the way they live their lives. It says the body of Christ grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. It takes all of us together. You will reach people that I'll never even come in contact with. And God wants all of us to be involved in building His kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these other things that you worry about will be added unto you, the Bible says in Matthew 6:33. But if I'm Satan, I can promise you this. I would do everything I could to convince the members of the church to leave the ministry to the pastor. I would do everything possible to convince the members of the church to leave the ministry to the staff because there's no way they can handle it. There's no way they could handle it all, and nothing can cap the growth of God's kingdom faster than if discipleship is left to the hired gun. And nothing can burn out a pastor faster than if discipleship and ministry is left to the hired gun. The average stay for a pastor now is 3 years. Seminaries are saying we can't find people that are willing to be pastors anymore. And that's one of the reasons I thank God for Grace Bible Fellowship. Because you guys joined me in ministry. You guys joined me in living out your lives in front of other people so that they can come to know Jesus Christ. Some of you right now are discipling other people one-on-one and teaching them how to teach and how to go out and disciple somebody else. And I thank God for you. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, there in your notes, that God has given some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and we all become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. In other words, the shepherd feeds the sheep so that the sheep can go out and produce more sheep. And that, my friend, is the purpose of the good news. It's the purpose of the church. To lead people to Christ, to make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey Christ's commands. Until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And so every believer is called out of the world and added to a spiritual body where Jesus Christ is the head. Every believer is called to a life of faith and obedience and then charged with this purpose of bringing others to that same faith and obedience. And then look back at verse 7. To all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. The NIV says it this way, to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints. And this leads us to point number 3. Every believer has been given the privilege of being loved by Almighty God and becoming one of His saints. Every believer has been given the privilege of being loved by Almighty God and becoming one of His saints. This is one of the most repeated truths in all of Scripture, that you and I are loved with this amazing, unconditional love that God has for His children. Now listen to this. Don't miss this, because we need this in America maybe more than anything. Don't miss this. One of the most repeated truths in Scripture is God's amazing, unconditional love for you in Christ Jesus that is not based on how you perform. Amen? It's not based on how you perform that day. It's not based on how much you achieved that day. It is based on God's grace. It's a free gift just because He loves you. Think about that. God loves you so much He would rather sacrifice His own Son on a cross for you than spend eternity without you. Think about that with me for a second. You know when this hit home to me? When I had Jake. And when I was in Missouri and I was in the den watching TV and Jake came crawling in one Saturday morning. And dude, it hit me. Wow. God took His only Son that He loved more than you and I could imagine. He let His enemies come in, these people that were His enemies, that He had never done anything that loved Him, but yet they rebelled against His love. He let them come in, take His Son, and I'm imagining letting somebody come in that's my enemy and do this to Jake. Come in and take Jake away and spit on him and beat him and curse him. Smash a crown of thorns down on his head and nail him to a cross so that I could take those people that just did that and invite them into my home for eternity. Are you kidding? I mean, dude, you wouldn't, that would not happen. Do you see the extent of God's love for you? And it's got nothing to do with your performance because the Bible says you were His enemy. He's got this amazing, unconditional love that the Bible says is this free gift that He gives to us, and He makes us His children. And He invites us into His home forever after we've nailed His Son to a cross. And He says, I have loved you with an everlasting love, Jeremiah 31:3. And therefore I have drawn you to myself with loving kindness, the Bible says. And Paul says in Ephesians 2, 4, and 5, but because, don't miss this, because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. Even though we were dead in our transgressions, our sins, and it's by grace that you've been saved. You can't earn it. You can't deserve it. It's a free gift. And the Bible says in 1 John 3:1, see how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called the children of God. And such we are. And He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and His will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us. Did you see this? Don't miss this. In Christ, the one He loves, His only Son. In Christ, we have redemption. We have forgiveness. We have freedom. We're brought back into a relationship with God. We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And then the Bible says in Romans 5:5, and hope in God does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit. God has placed His Holy Spirit to live in us, to love us every day, to guide us every day, to carry us, to comfort us each and every day. What an amazing privilege to be loved like that. I mean, what more could you ask for than to be loved by this unconditional, everlasting love of Almighty God? And it's not based on what you do. It's not based on how well you perform. It's all based on what Jesus Christ has done for you. And truth be told, that's what we all are longing for. We're all longing to be loved for the person we are and not according to how we perform. And the Bible says that Christ makes you a saint. Don't miss this, what I'm about to tell you. The Bible says that Christ makes you a saint when you repent of your sins and trust in Him as the Lord of your life and the Savior of your life. And so when you believe in Jesus Christ, a great transfer takes place, according to Scripture. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ, a great transfer takes place. God takes your sin and transfers your sin over onto Christ. And God takes the righteousness of Jesus Christ and transfers His righteousness over onto you. In other words, Christ became sin for you so that you could walk away scot-free. Jesus Christ became sin for you, the Bible says, so that you could walk away scot-free. 1 John 3:5. You know that Jesus Christ appeared in order to take away sins, and in Him there is no sin. But God made Him, Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:21, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Now allow me to explain this truth to you. When you put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God never sees you again as a sinner, but as a saint. Put another way, when God looks at you, He sees the righteousness of His Son, Jesus Christ. And now you've been set apart for God. You've been set apart by God for Christ and for His purposes. And you've been given the privilege of becoming one of His precious children. And your sins have been forgiven, and you're now one of God's saints, all because of His love for you, not because of your performance, but because of His love. And the Bible says in Ephesians 1, and I'll close with this, God chose us in Him, in Christ Jesus, before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy, set apart, and blameless before Him in love. In love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved, His Son, Jesus Christ. That, my friends, is the purpose and the privilege of the good news. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we come to You today, and we thank You for this great love that You have shown each of us through the sacrifice of Your one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Nowhere else can we find the love that You offer. Nowhere else can we find an unconditional love that is not based on how we perform, but is totally based on grace and the performance of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Nowhere else can we find this kind of acceptance, and nowhere else can we find this kind of rest for our souls. This unconditional love is freely given to us through faith in Jesus Christ. We don't deserve it, and we can't earn it. It's freely bestowed on us through the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we thank You for that today. Maybe you're here today, and you need that kind of love in your life. You need that kind of acceptance, that kind of rest. That's an amazing thing, to be able to rest in that kind of unconditional love that's not based on how you perform day in and day out. Today, my friend, you can cross that line and you can move over to being a believer of Jesus Christ and becoming a child of Jesus Christ. And you do that by putting your faith in Him, by believing in Him. And I'm going to say a simple prayer, and this doesn't make you a Christian, but these are not magic words. All that matters is that you mean it in your heart. You can say it totally different if you want. But this is an opportunity for you to put your faith in Jesus Christ if you feel like the Lord's leading you to do that today. Lord Jesus, I believe in You. I believe that You're God. And I believe that You loved me so much, You would rather come down here on this earth and die for my sins than live without me. I believe in Your death and Your resurrection, and I believe that Your blood washes my sins away. And I also believe that You're Lord. All authority on heaven and in earth has been given to You. So I'm asking You today to save me from my sins. I confess my sins and I repent. Give me the grace to repent, to turn away from my sins. And give me the grace to believe in You and put my faith in You today. And Lord, today I thank You for saving me, and for making me one of Your children. And maybe you're here today and you just need rest. You need to understand and be able to rest in that kind of love. And maybe today you might want to say a prayer somewhat like this. Lord Jesus, today, in this performance-driven culture, achievement-driven culture, I need rest for my soul. The rest that only You can supply. And You said that all who are weary and have heavy burdens can find rest for their souls in You, and that's what I'm looking for. Today, I just want to lay my burdens at Your feet, because they're too much for me to shoulder. And I want to allow You to carry my burdens and teach me to rest in you. Show me what that looks like. Help me to renew my mind by being in your word, being on my knees, worshiping you with my church family, and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with other people. Maybe you're here today and you would just say, you know what, Chris, I don't share the good news with other people. I'm scared. I don't feel like I know enough. I don't feel like I'm smart enough. I would just say this to you. God never called you to be his lawyer. He just simply said, would you witness to other people what I've done in your life? The difference that I've made in your life. And maybe today you might want to say a prayer somewhat like this. Lord Jesus, I'm asking you today to give me the strength to be a witness for you. I understand what you've called me to. And I understand that I have the answer that everybody needs. And I ask you today to help me to love other people with the love that you have and show other people the grace and the mercy that you show other people. Because I'm where I'm at only for one reason, and that's the grace of God. Not because I ever earned it, and not because I ever deserved it, but only because of the grace of God. And so, Heavenly Father, I'm asking you right now to give me the wisdom and strength. Help me to watch as I go through my day for people that you may bring along my path that need Jesus Christ. And I could share this truth with them. I could share this good news with them. And strengthen me to do that as I go throughout my day. Lord Jesus, we come to you today and we thank you for this precious time that we have had to get in your word and to worship you. And Lord, I thank you for the truth of your word that always brings me back around and points me in the direction that I need to be pointed in. And I thank you and I praise you for that. I thank you for loving me enough to show me the sin in my life so that I don't continue down that path and destroy my life. Thank you for giving me your Holy Spirit to lead me and guide me and just continually show me your unconditional love each and every day. And Lord Jesus, we thank you again for this time that we have had to just love you today and to be with you and just enjoy your fellowship. Enjoy being with our Lord and Savior. In Christ's name, amen. Carter, would you lead us in that last song, please, sir?